Ray Galloway is a construction manager and consultant, commercial and residential builder, and a certified inspector for all commercial and residential buildings. And now, here is About the House with Troy Galloway.
Welcome back to About the House, folks. This is your humble host, Troy Galloway, owner of Galloway Building Services. And About the House, I thank you very much for watching, listening to our show. And this is about everything you could ever possibly want to know about your home. We consider it like an audio university on home inspections, building, anything about the home. Why we call it Audio University is because you can go back and listen to the podcast. You can catch us on our YouTube TV channel. You can actually get us all over to social media. And because there's so much information, you just probably will listen to this over and over and over again just to glean all of the information that's out there that we have out there. We've shared with everybody. Heck, we've had people over here. We've had real estate companies, real estate clubs, mortgage brokers. We've had HVAC companies, electric companies, hazardous waste with lead, asbestos. I mean, a little of everything. And we are still got a whole bunch more great people coming on, set up, scheduled to come online here and help share with you some of their knowledge. So, hey, check us out. About the House. You can get us out there on your favorite podcast system. And when you do listen to us on YouTube, hey, hit like and subscribe. That way, whenever any of the new YouTube videos come up from either the About the House or Galloway Building Services, my company, you'll be able to get them. So that's, just tons and tons of great information that I know you'll love, because I hear people all the time tell me how much they mean to them. Actually, when I actually fall a little bit behind, people are calling me, what's going on? What's going on? Because we post our stuff out there all the time. So anyway, jump in there, follow us, subscribe to us. I think you will really, really glean a ton of information. Hey, again, my name's Troy Galloway. I am your humble host. I own Galloway Building Services. Just like this radio show, as unique as the About the House radio show is, that's just how unique my company is, Galloway Building Services. We are a full inspection company. Yes, we do home and building inspections for commercial or residential, whether you're buying or you're selling your home and you want to know about what it is. So, you know, you don't get ripped off, that you're getting what you paid for, and what's being done is done right, you know, and that you fully understand what is going on with your home. Which that greatly excites me is educating. Actually, I even teach at the college construction building science classes, inspection classes. I teach inspectors. Actually, I even am a registered, my company, but I do the teaching, even registered with the Missouri Real Estate Board. So as that we are teaching the real estate agents and brokers about construction and building and things like that. So we've been around for over 40 some years, tons of great information. And, you know, so we also specialize. What makes us really, really unique is that we specialize in construction inspections. We specialize in conflict resolution. If you have some trouble with your home or your contractor, and you don't think, or your home, and you don't know that something's right or something's dangerous or something is, you know, say you got a contractor and you just don't feel like what he's done is right. You know, you're looking at it and he's trying to tell you it's right. Well, who do you call? Well, if you call another contractor, all you're going to do is just get, you know, somebody's going to try to sell you a job. Well, because we are expert witnessing, registered as for litigation at work in the state of Missouri and expanding quickly, actually, throughout the Midwest, we don't have a dog in the fight. So when we tell you something, we're not trying to sell you something. We're here to actually watch out for you. We also have tons of attorneys that work that specialize in in this particular arena of real estate and construction issues, and not just in the Missouri area, but we also work all over throughout the Midwest. We've even been out to California, New York, Louisiana, state of Louisiana. So, I mean, a little of everywhere, and our reputation is growing quickly. But enough of that. Let's jump into the show. That's why you folks are listening. And I really am excited about this show here, because this is something that is very, very important. And to all of us, especially those of us that have decks. This is Deck Awareness Month. And with Deck Awareness Month, we want to make sure that our decks are safe. They're not going to about to get hurt. How many news articles have we saw over the years where decks have failed, people have gotten hurt, people literally been killed? We had a concert out here at Wentzville, Missouri. Now, it's not right here, but in Wentzville, Missouri, where the Grateful Dead had a big concert and a whole bunch of people piled onto the deck, and they was just enjoying themselves, having a good time and dancing and partying. Well, the deck wasn't safe, and it fell. Well, when it fell, I forgot now, you have to Google it, but I forgot how many people was killed. Literally was squashed to death from all of that. That's why it's so important that we actually kind of get some good ideas on what it is about decks. Now, this is just a radio show, so we're not going to be able to really do more than just talk about things. But if you want to see more about this, then I want you to go check us out. You know, I have a lot of videos on decks under Galloway Building Services. You see them on YouTube out there. Then you'll be able to kind of get a better visual idea of some of the things that we're talking about. So I highly encourage you to go check out a lot of our videos, because we have tons of them out there. And tons. Sadly, because of the decks out there not being properly built, or people just literally been building decks so long, we just didn't build them to safety like we do today. Today, we're really doing a lot of great things for our decks to make sure they're safe. Now, decking, our decks, they're designed more for more weight than what our houses are designed for. Actually, I'm a building engineer, so I do like to kind of maybe get into the weeds. So if I bore you, just bear with me. I'll kind of get through it as quickly as I can without boring the tar out of you. But just think about this. Your home is built about 40 pounds per square foot. That's about code, 40 pounds per square foot. But our decks, they're designed for 60 pounds or more per square foot. Well, why is that? Well, it's because we will get more people on a deck than any one place in our home. And also, we have more people doing a lot more moving around, and like the Grateful Dead concert, people up there dancing on our decks, people barbecuing, kids up there wrestling, you know. I mean, there's a ton of things, and that just really, why we got to make sure not only are they built to carry the extra weight, but they also must be built to carry that extra movement. And so one of the questions that was talked to me about earlier about this when we was getting ready to start this show is that somebody said I was getting ready to buy a house and the deck was not attached to the home. And they was worried because most of the time we see decks and porches. Porches are really just a glorified, you know, as a deck also. It was not attached to the house. And they felt like, well, I always saw them attached to the house. That must be the way they should be. And normally they are. And so we're going to talk about a little bit of that too, about attaching to the house. But I would say don't worry about if they're attached to the house, as long as the rest of the building system, the components of the deck are safe. And we'll talk about that. So actually, we'll just start talking about unattached decks. So an unattached deck, well, that could actually be an unattached deck. Well, just think if you have a swimming pool and you got a deck outside of your swimming pool. Or if you have a little place out there in your meditation garden or something that you have, and you have a deck out there, well, that's the same thing as a deck not attached to the house. So what are you looking for when we have a non-attached to the home deck? Well, you want to make sure that, you know, crazy as it sounds, you want to make sure you got at least 4 support posts, possibly more depending upon the size of the deck that you have. But you want to make sure that it is properly supported with the proper piers and proper decking material, everything like that, just like your regular attached deck. That's really the biggest difference is the attachment, is that how it's being supported. See, on a deck that's actually attached to the home, to our band boards, what we have there is that, you know, that's being supported off of the existing foundation. That's important because I want you to remember that it's supported by the existing foundation. And why I want you to know that is because we're going to talk about bays in a minute and how they're supposed to be attached. I'm going to tell you what there is a lot. I am shocked about how many carpenters out there are people that claim to be carpenters. And when I post these things, they literally argue. Can you believe that? They're arguing with an engineer that the engineer doesn't know what he's talking about, but they do because that's how daddy did it. That's how grandpa did it. Well, I don't care if that's how it's always been done. It doesn't make it right, and it sure don't make it safe, right? And what do we care about? We care about safety. We care about longevity. We care about safety. We don't want anybody hurt, especially when these decks are, some of these decks, you know, 20, 30, 40 feet in the air or more. So yes, absolutely. So what we do is we attach our band board of our deck to the band board of our home. And that's the important link. And we're going to stay here for a minute here because there's some issues I want to talk about. We want to bolt that to the two band boards. The deck band board to the home band board. Now, I want you to, if you got vinyl siding or anything, I would recommend that we actually pull the siding off and attach the board to board. But that don't always happen, and it's not really the end of the world, but I would love to see it that way, if at all possible, for safety purposes. Now, bolting patterns, they're kind of a code issue. So just check with your local municipality, whoever is in charge of the codes, and follow that. If indeed you don't, if you're in the country, you don't have such a code issues that you want about that, then you can actually Google the 2018 residential code for decking material. It's open out there, and they'll give you patterns, or you can even, like, you know, go to your bigger cities, and they'll have it on their websites and such, bolting patterns. Make sure it's bolted properly. It is very, very important. Then we have now, this is something that's not as fairly brand new. I don't know, you know, I would recommend to do it to existing decks as well as brand new decks, but it is grandfathered in. Don't let a building inspector come and say that these are not on. What we're talking about are sway bars, sway bar attachments. And what it is it bolts, it comes through the band boards, both deck band board and home band board. It's bolted from the inside of the home, and it's also bolted to the outside of your floor joist. And what that does, remember we was talking about that dancing business, you know, and people jumping around, people having fun, wrestling around on your deck. Well, it keeps it from actually moving, or it cuts down on the sway of movement. We're going to talk about that because the higher the deck goes up, the weaker our support posts get, the more movement that we get. Kind of can be scary when you're up on a tall deck and the dadgum thing's moving all around. You know, that's no fun. I'll scare the tar out of you, especially on a windy day. But so these anti-sway devices, they really, really work great. They're easy to put on. Any do-it-yourselfer can do it. So there's absolutely no reason a real contractor doesn't do it. So if you think about them, maybe retrofit or not, but that's very important. Also, what we're finding is that on our deck boards, we want to see, and this is a code now also, you want flashing. That flashing goes up underneath the existing siding of your home, and it flashes over the band board of the deck. And so any water that gets between, now this is attached decks, we're still on attached decks here. And what happens is that any water or moisture that would possibly get in behind there and rot out your band board of your home, it flashes that water away from the home and off of the deck and off of the boards. Now, you're using treated lumber on the outside, but your home doesn't have treated wood. That band board's not a treated piece of wood. And it's very vulnerable to water damage. That's very, very important. Now, if we have it, I want to talk about also the height of the deck. Now, this is some municipalities call this as code now. We've been doing it now. I've been doing it for doing this technique that I'm getting ready to share with you. I bet I've been doing it for 30 some years. And once I tell you what it is and why, it only makes logical sense. And like I said, it's in a logical sense finally caught up in the code compliance books. But I'd like to see your deck at minimum of 3.5 inches, a 2x4, under a drop below the threshold of the door or the walking into your door, because normally decks are attached to a door, you know, so you can exit and enter it. And so you want to lower it than the door. Why do you want to lower it? Now, I'd like to see it 6 inches or 7 inches myself, because the little bit lower that it is, the more natural the step is up into the house. But the reason we love to put them lower than even with the threshold of the door, which has been common practice, but that's, once again, I don't care. Grandpa did it that way. That don't make it right. Because what happens is you get, well, if you're in a snowy area, icy area, any place like this, well, then you're going to get a lot of buildup right there. And that water can, and ice is going to, and can get right into your door. If you got a wooden frame around your door, it's going to rot it out. It's also going to, it's just nothing but a water problem that does not need to exist. So drop them decks down at least 3.5 inches. And then code is at 3.5 inches in a lot of them. I'm not for sure if I've ever seen a code yet that I have to go back. I didn't see that on the 2018 codes when I was international residential code that I was looking at before I came into the show. But maybe there are some municipalities 6.5, and that'd be great if they are. All right, so we want that deck a little lower than our threshold. Now, yeah, here you go, folks. Here is where I hear the carpenters out there just whining and crying like they actually know what's happening. And common sense says that, you know, so we're going to explain this. Common sense. We have a bay. We do not, I repeat, we do not attach our deck to the band board of a bay. Why? Well, a band board of the bay is normally cantilevered out past the foundation. So cantilevers are not built, they're not designed to carry 60 pounds per load, a square feet of weight distribution on the decking. Also, what happens is that with this movement and such, you are jarring that bay loose. Folks, I have literally witnessed more than one occasion where the bay literally has come off the house. I seen one just recently that literally had the bay, it was a two-story bay, had been pulled away from the house. That was just lucky the whole thing didn't come out. Well, we sure don't need our bays being pulled away from the house. So how we do that instead of actually, and this is all, you can pick all this up out there on Google, you know, on deck, you know, reviews and such, and are in code compliance. But what we do is we header that section off. We put, instead of bolting to the bay, we literally just run a header, a double, whatever you're using for your floor joist, 2x8s, 2x10s, 12s, whatnot. And you double that up, and then you got the two doublers that to hang on, just like you would a header inside your home if you're on your floor joist. It's, you know, like, say, for instance, going down your basement or these kind of areas. I say basement because that's where you could probably see this at. And so you got two of your joists that are going from the house to the outside band board, and then the header hangs onto that. That is code. That will make it safe for you. Very, very important to make sure that that is done right. Now, now we're going to move on down just a little bit lower to our hangers. And the hangers, what is a hanger? Well, some of you folks are kind of handy, so you probably know. And most of you folks that listen to this radio show, you pretty much do know what, but hangers, that is that metal strap, that metal piece that your floor joists sit into. and they rest into it. And this is to make sure that the weight is distributed properly. And they are of a galvanized material. And what galvanized means is it's been treated so as it is more rust retardant, not rust proof. Rust retarded. So if you buy in a home and you want to do your own deck inspection, I want you to go down there and look at your joist. Look at these hangers. Look where your joists are sitting into it and look at your hangers and see if your hangers are gotten any rust on them, because that's a good sign that we got a little moisture issues. And also you'll see some of my videos literally got these hangers, so they're just rusted out. No kidding. They're just rusted out. We call them air boards. They're just nailed to the air and they're just hanging. Well, you know that ain't safe. You know, nobody wants that. So you make sure that that's a good sign right there. Now, I want you to look at your nails. We actually have a specific nail made for the joist hangers. And how a lot of the guys, they just don't think about it. They'll use roofing nails. Well, roofing nail, for one, doesn't have the right shear strength to hold the weight. So naturally, that's not any good, but at least it's more water repellent. You know how many times I've gotten in there and I have literally witnessed a floor joist nail that is nothing more than a 16-penny rough framing nail? Well, how can you tell? That's a good question. How can you tell? Well, an experienced eye could tell by looking at the head of the nail. Maybe you're not so experienced and you say, well, Troy, tell me out here. How can I tell this? Okay, if you see rust at the end of your nail heads, well, I tell you what, them specific nails that are designed for joist hangers will not be rusted up. And if they're rusted on the outside of that nail head, just know rust is like cancer and it goes all the way through. And now we got some more of that air wood again, and it could just be rusted away and just barely hanging. And so very, very scary. Very scary. So you want to make sure that you don't see any rust on our joist hangers. You don't see any rusting going on our joist hanging nails. These are very important to make sure. Now, let's move out a little bit further here. And now we're on our floor joist. So we're moving out on our floor joists, and we talked about how much weight. You can Google all this information. You know, it used to be the rule of thumb for 40 pounds per square foot. So if I have a 2x10, I could go 1.5 times. That gives me approximately 40 pounds. That's kind of a rule of thumb. So that's 1.5. So that would be 15 foot span. Now with the 60 pounds per square foot, that has changed, and I'm sure that there is a rule of thumb. I just go look to make double sure that I follow. That way, when I turn in my permits, for building my deck, I show them the chart, the structural chart. Even if they know they want to see it, they want to put it on there, make sure on your permit drawings that you put that on there. So you want to make sure that it's got the right, carrying the right load. Yeah, I'm not going to say your deck's going to fall down at 40 pounds at all, but if you're going to do it right. I mean, it's really worth your while to make sure it's done right. So we got our floor joists, and sometimes we put them, our floor joists go out, and we put them all the way out to the outside band board. That band board that we're talking about, that literally is that outside board that you see on the outside of the deck, like a skirt board, some people call it, but it's really a band board. And so they go out there. Now that should be sitting on, if that's the case, they should be sitting on hangers out there also. And make sure that's all done. And then we're going to go to the support post in a minute because we're working our way down. But you want to make sure that they're on hangers. Now, a lot of people put them on hangers. Hey, if you're doing it yourself, the hanger idea is a great idea because it makes it a little easier for you just to go put one end on a hanger. It supports itself. Put the other end on a hanger. It supports itself. Then you nail it together. And one man can easily do it. It makes your job a heck of a lot easier. And there's no such thing as too much support. You can't add too much strength to a deck. So, but those are good points there to have. Now, we also sometimes we cantilever that last section over the deck. You know, it's kind of like our bays was cantilevered. A cantilever is where our floor joist extends past the support system. And we put a beam up underneath there, and we normally go about 2 foot over. You can do more, a little more, a little less, depending on the weights and the floor joist and the structural integrity. But so they sit on top of my band board or my beam, and then it continues out and then nails to the outside band board. Now my outside band board is more for pretty. But then it is for the other. Now what we're doing, and this is a really, we used to just take and toenail our joist into our beam, our support beam. And, we'll talk about that on the videos. It's kind of hard to talk about that, describe how, what we call toenail. But now we actually have, some people call them hurricane straps, or they got straps that are just, hangers that are designed and you to go to your local hardware store, lumber yard, and they'll get you the right pieces. And so they actually will tie your band board right to your beam. Great system. I love them. They're very inexpensive. It's going to give you a higher quality job. Once again, make sure you use the hanger nails. So as that we're doing is 100% right. We don't want a bunch of rusted out. Hey, one of the reasons we're having so much trouble with our rusting out is because this new treated wood. Well, it's not new anymore. Back in 2004, right around there, we had a new treated type of weathered wood. And the old wood, they had arsenic in it, so they got away from it. Oh, get this. This is our government helping us out. Come on. They said if the most scariest thing in the world to hear, the government come to say they're going to help. Well, here's a perfect example of the government trying to help. So they get rid of this arsenic-treated wood. Well, I've never known a carpenter get arsenic poisoning from cutting the wood, but I'm not going to say it can't happen. Because anything can happen. But this new wood that they treat it with, is what happens is it's so caustic that it literally will eat your bolts and nails away. If you don't get the double dip galvanized bolts, you don't get the right type of fasteners for this type of material. Very important. Now we've kind of gotten away from that used to be systems, the type of fasteners. Now we're kind of, it's more easier to find the right materials because everybody's coming online. And a lot of our supply houses, that's all they sell is the right type of material. So don't worry, just talk to them, whoever you're getting your material from. So now we got our hangers out there on our band, our beam. And I want you, now our support beam. There again, you need to pull it up because I can't really tell you over the radio here about how big a beam or anything you should have. So just pull up your structural charts, your weight bearing charts, and they'll tell you exactly what size beam that you really need to do so you can carry this load. But you want to bolt your beam together. I know. I hear the carpenters whining out there now. I nail it. I've always nailed it. Well, I know you always nailed it, but that's not really the best way of doing it. Why? Why isn't it the best way? Because when I'm walking up around on that deck and I'm moving, that deck's going to have a little bit of movement. I don't care how tight you make it. Well, what happens is that's moving them beams down, them everything goes down, and that seismic activity or your movement here will go all the way down to that beam. And then when that beam's moving, them nails, they're still there, but all of a sudden now, because of the constant movement, it's shaking it, and them nails get loose. And then now we no longer have it tight. Reason we want to have a couple of boards bolted together is because when we put them together, they're stronger than individual. Now, sometimes, depending on your codes, you can put two of them separate. So I don't want to say you have to do it this way. But if you're going to put them together, bolt them together. Honestly, it doesn't take much longer. It's going to be a lot easier for you. And if you're doing it yourself, it's going to actually make your job a little easier too. Now we're going to move over to our stairs coming off of our decks. Stringers. For you folks that don't know what a stringer is, that's that notched out area of your stairs that makes, which I do love building stairs. It's something I just really do love building stairs. So I kind of got crazy about overbuilding them. But what I want you to see is now a lot of our decks now are have four stringers per 3 foot wide, 4 foot wide, stairs going up and down. And because they want that extra strength, because they think that you're going to be moving things up and down like refrigerators and stoves and freezers, you know, whatnot, I guess. Some municipalities are only still three. Two, unacceptable. Two is not enough stringers, because it leaves on your field a weakness and your boards will bow. So don't, you know, I would recommend a minimum of three. And actually on my new home that I built back in, about 10 years ago or so, I too put only three, and it's working just fine. But I had to put some extra supports up underneath it to carry that load for my own safety, for my own self-security, self-sense of safety. So we want to make sure that. Now, also, this is a code issue that we're doing more and more, and I would recommend, even if a code, it's not a code, doesn't have to be, it's grandfathered in, I recommend that you do this, because we do this on all interior steps, and that is we take a galvanized strap, metal strap, and we tie it from the band board and nail it all the way to your stringers, and you nail that together. Why? In case of a fire, you want to make sure that that's as strong as possible. That might be your only escape. And we do it on the inside for fire safety. We do it on the outside of our decks for fire safety. So I would recommend doing this regardless, you know, if you do or you don't, if it have to or you don't. So make sure of that. We'll talk about other things too, but I think some of the landings and that kind of neat stuff, or how to build stairs, just check out our videos, and I got tons of stuff on that. So we're going to kind of move around here a little bit. Now let's kind of wander down on our support post. Well, naturally, we love to see our support post where notched out, so our floor, our band board and or our support beam sits in our beam, or sits right on top of our, like a beam pocket on our post. And that makes it so it's a little bit more secure. If you, like I say, you're building it yourself, that helps you be able to rest it up on there so you're not having to hold it. And, hey, this really is going to give you a higher quality, more safe job. Now, 4x4 versus 6x6. Check your codes. Check your municipalities about how high. Most people I know go with the 6x6 regardless if you need to have your regardless, if indeed you have to have the height, the requirements or not. Reason why we like the 6x6 is because they look a little bit prettier too. So the 6x6, that goes all the way down to your pier. And we like to see a concrete piers. Now, depending on the part of the country you're in, my part of the country, 30 inches below frost line. Some further south, we don't have as much frost line. You know, we don't have that, but we want further north, it goes deeper. Why we want to get our piers down below the frost line? Because what happens is when that cold and that frost gets up underneath there, it can literally heave that deck up, literally pick that deck up. You want to make sure that we get below the frost line, and then just check your whatever your area is about how deep you should go. And honestly, I am a building engineer, so naturally they tell me 30 inches. I make the guys go 32 inches or more. And you also want to crumb that out, meaning that at any kind, when you dig your post hole, you get all the loose debris out of it, because you don't want anything. You want it to be a solid footing foundation. And at the bottom of that, so if we got a 12-inch pier hole, right, that we're going down, I want you to get down at the bottom, and I want you to bail it out. And I want you to, because and you do get in, it's going to make it stable. It's going to make it so as it doesn't move as much. But also, if you do ever get any frost, it'll also keep that from heaving as much, or keeps it from heaving at all. So you want to bail it out. There again, it's a code issue, but I would like to see my own self. If it's a 12-inch pier or a pier hole going in, I like to see an 18-inch bell at the bottom of it. Also, I also want to see, and this is a code issue, but even if it's not code issue, it's a common sense issue, because this is one of the bad areas that we find on decks when I'm doing a deck inspection. You want to make sure your pier is, some municipalities say 4 inches, some say 6 inches, I say 6 to 8 inches, above the ground. I want that concrete to be up and above the ground. And I would like to see my post sitting on a post anchor that literally lets air come up underneath it. So as that, because see my wood sitting on concrete, well, what happens is that a wick, that concrete wicks that moisture. And then I got rot, right? I got rot coming up inside of my post, that cancer. And then by the time you see it, oh, it's done. It's rotted. I got tons of pictures where I literally could stick my whole hand up underneath these posts. And they're supposed to be supporting a whole bunch of people up there. You know, no, that's not good. That's dangerous. So you want to make sure that that's up. You want to, and what I'd like to see doesn't mean you have to do it that way, but I'd like to explain to why I like to see it that way. And the reason we want to be 6 to 8 inches above grade is because of snow, any kind of ice buildup. You don't want that building resting around our post. Let it rest around our concrete. And it can look really pretty. Now, you know, a lot of the guys use round sonotube for their posts, you know, which is awesome. That's cool. You know, I'm kind of old fashioned. If I got a square post, I just make my pier top. I make it, a square. Just because square and square, you know, it don't make any difference. But that's what I do. But it doesn't make, you know, like I say, the ground don't care. The post don't care if it's sitting on round or square. But a 6x6 sitting on a 12-inch pier. All right. So these are some of the things that I want you to be watching for our decking. Or at least for our support system. Now we're going to wander right back up on top again of our deck. Let's talk about our decking material and handrails. Because these are very important. Now, our handrails are all... Now, we're going to 42 inches. A lot of the codes are now 42 inches, but it used to be 36 inches. 42 feels better, especially when they're up high, because it just a little bit better. It feels safer. But 36 is the common. The advantage of 36 versus 42 is if I'm sitting in a chair, I can easily see over a 36-inch handrail, but I can't easily see over a 42-inch handrail. So these are things that we want to be, think about when we're doing our handrails. Make sure your support post on your handrails are all secure. If you're buying a house, you want to make sure that you're checking your decking. See if you got much movement. You shouldn't have... Yeah, honestly, you shouldn't have any movement. That'd be great. The world's not perfectly round, so you might be able to get a little bit of movement. And if you do, make sure it's not more than an eighth of an inch to a quarter inch movement. Quarter inch, in my opinion, is pushing it. Eighth inch and it is all the movement I'd prefer to see if I see any at all. Make sure your posts are not rotted, you know, common sense here. And a lot of our posts actually are natural. We like cedar. We like composites. We like these kind of materials. Your composites, you don't have to worry about as much. As a matter of fact, I want you, if you're interested in the different types of decking materials or engineered wood, check out some of our past shows. We talk about engineered wood and different types of building materials and products. So I won't go back and beat that up. I do recommend you go back and listen to that. All right, so now we got that. Let's talk about our decking material. Now, we have most of our decking material for cost efficiency is literally 2x6 material, and it's usually treated or cedar wood. People say, I shouldn't have to treat or seal my treated wood because it's treated. Wrong. You do need to seal it. You just have to wait until 6 months to a year, to treat it. If you don't treat it, it starts chaffing, cracking, it gets so it's a very undesirable, and man, oh man, you don't want one of them treated splinters going into a barefoot or your baby, your little child's barefoot. Oh, that chemical that they put in this stuff, it hurts. When your baby's screaming, then you don't get angry. It's just because it needs to be sealed. So if you seal it, even if it's treated, it will definitely not do that. So just keep it treated or sealed up. But definitely with cedar, we definitely want to keep it treated for more than one reason. We don't want it to deteriorate, yes, but we also don't, we love that pretty look and a good, and actually check out some of our past radio shows that we've done on painting because we talk about decks and things like that. So I'll just stay back off and let you refer back to that so we don't get into redundancy of what we've already talked about in the past. But you want to make sure that you don't have rotted decking material. Good places to look at is at the ends of your of it, where it's been cut off around the band boards. Look and see if you see any rot or any kind of deterioration. Of course, in the field, you also want to make sure that it's good and solid. You know, if you could take him, like a little ice pick or a pocket knife or something, and you shouldn't be able to, you know, to penetrate that wood. Force it, okay, but I'm talking about just pecking at it, and you shouldn't be able to penetrate it. And and if so, hey, it's easy to replace. Now, if it's wood, here's a good tip. And if there's a good tip here on this, on the decking for wood, this is it besides treating it. I highly recommend that when you're putting this wood down, you butt it up tight. Now, I know what old Bob Vila said, but Bob, he had never done his own deck. He always had, you know, Norm do it or something because he'd know better. But you take your decking and you put it tight together and you nail it tight together. For one, it makes it a little easier than trying to put your little spacer in between it. Used to be the old rule of thumb is we'd put our carpenter pencil, which is about a quarter inch spacing between it. The reason that we did that is so moisture and water could get through it. We don't want water sitting on and ice and stuff sitting on our decks. But when you do put what I'm saying and you put it up tight, your wood's going to shrink. And it's going to shrink whether it's spaced or if it's not spaced. So if it's spaced already and it shrinks, now you got these big old nasty gaps out there. They can be so intense that you can't walk out there at high heels. You can actually get out there and stumble out there on these things. They're now starting to become a safety hazard. Whereas if it's tight when you nail your decking board, you put all your boards side by side, you make it tight as possible all the way out to the front. It's easier to keep the board straight. It shrinks up so you get nice uniform gaps. It's a lot prettier. The end results is a higher quality. And so you might use an extra board. Well, that's it. I know right now an extra board costs a lot of money. But wood's not going to be super expensive forever. But honestly, folks, that one more piece of wood is really worth your time. So these are some of the things to look at. Now, one other last thing about this, and we'll kind of wrap up Deck Awareness Month with this here. And that is when you go out there and when I do home inspections, what I see a lot is people go out there and they just paint this, like this decking coating all over it. And it's really thick. And normally they do it with this type of material because they're trying to hide something. When you see that, I want you to drill extra, extra deep. Because there's a good sign we're hiding rot, deterioration, and unsafe conditions. Not saying that's always the case, because it's not. But normally, we're not going to spend the extra money when we're selling a house by putting this better material on it, unless there's a reason for it. Not when we can just use a good material. Sealing material. Well, here's a good tip on sealing material. Do not buy the cheapest. The cheapest will not last. You don't necessarily always have to buy the best, but there's a lot of great ones out there that you can buy. Go to your paint distributor. Stay away from the big box stores, paint departments, because honestly, them folks really, they don't really know what they're, the product. They know what they're told to push. Whereas if you go to your paint distributor, the one that your professional painters go to, they're going to get you the best material for your deck. And you explain to them what it is that you have and what you're working with, and they'll set you up. So these are hopefully a lot of great ideas, and hopefully these will help you for Deck Awareness Month. And, One other thing. Let me finish with this. I meant to say that. If you have a deck and it's on the ground, treated wood is not ground compliant for material wood. It's not built to sit on dirt. Okay? So you're going to get deterioration. It's going to happen quicker than if indeed, because there is no such thing as an absolute lifetime warranty on your material. Read the fine print. You'll see I'm right. If you think I'm wrong, check it out when you see us out there on YouTube or something. I want you just to show us that I'm wrong, but I have never seen that. And that actually, it costs you a lot of money to get them replaced because now you don't have access to them. Also, whenever you got a ground level deck and you don't have that flashing between your home and your deck, termites. I guarantee you that there's a good chance a termite's right there, and that's a termite home because it's a wet, dark, damp spot. So you can fix it by having the proper flashing. That'll correct it. Getting a little bit lower, that helps too. These are good hints. Now, but, you know, this is Deck Awareness Month, but the truth of folks if you got your deck that's on the ground or close enough to the ground, it's really cheaper to go with concrete patio. A lot less hassle. It's cheaper all the way around. It's longs lasting. You don't have to. It's pretty much a maintenance free. But that's not Deck Awareness Month. That's a concrete patio. And we don't have a concrete patio month. So, hey, you know what? We need to make one of them up. I need to do that. That'd be fun. Anyway, folks, I hope this has been fun, as much fun for you folks. And I know I threw a lot of stuff at you at one time, but don't worry about it. Go back, review it, and feel free to contact me. And I'm going to give you some contact information right now. You can check us out through our webpage at www.gallawaybuildingservices.com. That's a good spot. You can see us on our YouTube channels. You can ask questions on there. You see a lot of people do. We got thousands and thousands of people that have watched the different videos. Some respond, some, ask questions. Hey, that's a great resource. You can also check us out on social media, Twitter. You see us out there, Facebook. Rumble, we're moving into Rumble. We don't have much over there yet, but we will continue to keep moving stuff over that away. But yeah, check us out, ask questions, but also call me. My office number is 636-394-3112. And then just ask for Troy and then say, hey, Troy, I listened to the radio show and he said to call with any questions. Or you can actually come to my email. I'm going to give you my personal email of the company, and that's troy@gallawaybuildingservice.com. Company and then Galloway Building Services, but I couldn't get the domain name to go the other, so it's Galloway Building Service. And text me or email me that and questions, but these are great avenues to contact us. And again, the office number is 636-394-3112. Tell me you listen to the show. You got questions? You got a deck you want inspected? Give us a call. Anyway, folks, thank you. Love having you with us. I want to give a shout out to our producer for his patience. I'm wearing that poor boy thin today with all these different shows, and he's been a great trooper. Thank you, Joey, for joining us. Hey, if you guys ever need a producer for your podcast, radio show, or your videos to be done, you couldn't go to a better source. We just love this young man, and so does everybody that ever works with him. Well, folks, thank you. You have a great day. God bless you.
Sponsored by Troy Galloway and Galloway Building Services, your top choice for professional home inspections in the St. Louis area. GallawayBuildingServices.com.